Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraye Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 3 to 4. Dvaudaive pitrikarietrim Ekaikam upayatrava Bhojaye susamritopi Shraddhe kuryanna vistaram Dvaitaive pitrikaryetrin Ekaikam upayatrava Bhojayet susamridhopi Shraddhe kuryanna vistaram Dvaitaive pitrikaryetrin Ekaikam upayatrava Bhojayet susamridhopi Shraddhe kuryanna vistaram Dwau Chu Daive. During the period when oblations are offered to the demigods, Pitrikarye, in the Shraddha ceremony, in which oblations are offered to the forefathers. Trin, three, Eka, one, Ekam, one, Ubhayatra, for both occasions, Va, either, Bhojayet, one should feed, Susam Bridak Api, even though one is very rich, Shraddhe, when offering oblation to the forefathers, Kuryat, one should do, Na, not, Vistaram, very expensive arrangements. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. During the period for offering oblations to the demigods, one should invite only two brahmanas, and while offering oblations to the forefathers, one may invite three brahmanas, or in either case, only one brahmana will suffice. Even though one is very opulent, he should not endeavor to invite more brahmanas or make various expensive arrangements on those occasions. Purport. As we have already mentioned, Srila Advaita Acharya, during the generally observed ceremony, to offer oblation to the forefathers, invited only Haridas Thakur. Thus he followed this principle, Name Bhaktas Chaturvedi Mat Bhakta Swapacha Priyaha. The Lord says, it is not necessary that one become very expert in Vedic knowledge before he can become my Bhakta or devotee. Even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, he can become my devotee and be very dear to me, in spite of having taken birth in such a family. Therefore, offering should be given to my devotee, and whatever my devotee has offered me should be accepted. Following this principle, one should invite a first-class Brahmana or Vaishnava, a realized soul, and feed him while observing the Shraddha ceremony to offer oblations to one's forefather. So text 4. Desha kalu chita shraddha dravya pratarhana nicha samyak bhavanti naitani vistarat svajanarpanat. If one arranges to feed many brahmanas or relatives during the Shraddha ceremony, there will be discrepancies in the time, place, respectability, and ingredients, the person to be worshipped, and the method of offering worship. Purport. Narada Muni has prohibited unnecessarily gorgeous arrangements to feed relatives or brahmanas during the Shraddha ceremony. Those who are materially opulent spend lavishly during this ceremony. Indians spend especially lavishly on three occasions: at the birth of a child, at marriage, and while observing the Shraddha ceremony. But the Shastras prohibit the excessive expenditure involved in inviting many brahmanas and relatives, especially during the Shraddha ceremony. Agyanati mirundasya gyananjana shalakaya chakru militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangulangayate grim yat kripa tamaham bande shri gurundinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachatyade Satarine Panchakalpa Taruvyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasavi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. So we can observe how when it comes to ceremonies, rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, there are many things that are prohibited, and they have to be performed in a with many. You have to follow many details. For instance, we learned before that if you perform the Shraddha ceremony during Ekadashi, what happens? Yeah, you go to hell. Imagine, everyone, even the priest, that's according to Srila Prabhupada and Jiva Goswami. And here there are more restrictions. For instance, you cannot feed many brahmanas during the Shraddha ceremony. Therefore, when Advaita Acharya performed it, to set an example, he invited Srila Haridas Thakur to be the brahmana who was fed as the most advanced devotee. So he glorified him. Even though Srila Haridas Thakur, according to the Smarta brahmanas, so those brahmanas who are very concerned about caste, etc., and they don't accept, for instance, someone who is born from a Muslim family and then become a Vaishnava. Very difficult for them to accept a Vaishnava like that. But of course, that's not our Siddhanta. And Advaita Acharya invited Srila Haridas Thakur, although he was supposed to be from a lower caste, and glorify him. Then, if one arranges to feed many brahmanas or relatives during the Shraddha ceremony, there will be discrepancies in the time, place, respectability, and ingredients, etc. So time, place, and circumstance you have to consider. If we contrast this with the Sankirtan Yagya, and we will see that the Sankirtan Yagya doesn't have much restrictions. And if the Yagya performed advice for this age, Prabhupada established the Harinam Sankirtan without considering the time and the place. For instance, he was chanting in a park. It was in a holy place. And Sunday feast, all the celebrations that the devotees are doing, like either celebration of the Lord, you can feed as many people as you want with prasad, with the offering of prasad. And And there is not even consideration of the who is chanting the mantra, as far as the person who's chanting is a Vaishnava who's practicing devotional service. That's the only restriction, but doesn't matter where he is born. But for performing Vedic rituals, you have to be born from a Brahmana family. But in order to perform Vaishnava rituals, you don't have to be born in a Brahmana family. You have to be a Vaishnava, and a Vaishnava is considered above the mood of nature. So it's above the designation of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. But Vedic rituals are very strict in that sense. And in any ways, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is not recommending to follow all these rituals. So we can ask the devotees who are studying Bhagavad Gita. So what Krishna says about Vedic rituals?
There's one verse where Krishna is saying that all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by knowing the purpose behind them. So, and he gave the comparison like there are small wells which has different purposes, but if you have a large reservoir of water, it serves all the purposes of the small wells. So, like you were explaining, the Sankirtan movement is pleasing Krishna is the ultimate purpose of all the Vedas.
Fulfilling all these purposes.
Yeah. So, something.
Thank you. So, Mitch?
These the Vedic rituals, the acts of sacrifice, there's transcendence is embedded within these rituals.
I couldn't hear properly.
Are rituals and sacrifices synonymous, the words? Rituals and sacrifice?
Yes.
Rituals and sacrifice, can they be used, are they the same? Is there the same meaning or is there a different meaning between rituals and sacrifice?
So you're asking a question?
Yeah, so my answer is depending on...
Okay. So I cannot understand, you are saying Vedic and ritual, and then I cannot hear anything.
A ritual and a sacrifice, because I was going to say something, but I don't
know. There's any difference?
Yes, I didn't know if I don't want to say something if it's, you know.
But we can understand sacrifice in any ways, but in this context that we are talking about, you can understand it as a ceremony, the sacrifice, or... Other meaning is something that you give away, imposed in pursuit of a higher goal. Like for instance, there are sacrifice of material possessions, like we see in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita. Or you offer food as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu, to Krishna. And ritual will be like an umbrella of many other things, including sacrifice. And so, do you want to add something? Okay, so like Manoj was explaining about how all the purposes of the Vedas, all these different ceremonies and ritual sacrifices that are prescribed in the Vedas can be fulfilled just by by attaining the goal of the aim of the Vedas, which means to please Krishna. Sam Siddhir Haritoshanam. So Varna Ashram, Vibhaga Sahad, all the Varnas in Ashrams become successful when one please Krishna. And so therefore, the rituals and sacrifices that are mentioned in the Karma Kanda are only meant to encourage the followers of the Vedas to follow authority, because the Vedas come from Krishna, from Vishnu, and the Vedas are given prescribed duties. And according to the different varnas and ashrams, one may perform different type of sacrifices. But all of them have the purpose of following the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So once a practitioner understands the goal of the Vedas, then there is no need of doing the other ceremonies, because basically there are meant for improving the hook to attract people to the Vedas is to promote well-being, you know, well-being for society, well-being for the family, because we naturally have the tendency to pursue happiness. So in that way, the conditioned soul is attracted to the Vedas because they see, oh, by following the Vedas, I can improve my life. Like we see some advertisement of different religious groups in which a person gives a testimony and they explain how their life improved after following religion. So they will give a testimony of how their family is better, or they will say, I'm a professional, I have a wonderful family, and I have a wonderful house, and I am a Christian, a Mormon, or a Hare Krishna. So people say, oh, that's nice. So I don't have a nice family. I don't have a good house. Maybe if I become a religious, I will have all of this. So the Vedas are using, in the lower level, the Karma Kanda, are using religion to pursue artha, or dharma artha, or religion in order to gain material profit. And however, again, if one knows the purpose of the Vedas, that's not the purpose of the Vedas. The purpose of the Vedas is to bring people closer to Krishna and back to Godhead. So this is only a hook. So therefore, scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, they reject that conception of religion as a means to improve material condition. So therefore, Dharma Projito Kaitavo. Bhagavatam is completely rejecting that concept of Dharma. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, the supreme Dharma is Savai Punsam Paradharmo Yato Bhaktir Adoksaje, is to worship Krishna. You don't have to be involved in all these different rituals for forefathers, etc. And just by worshiping Krishna, he knows his Sukhridam Sarvabhutanam. So a devotee understands that Krishna knows exactly what you need. So by worshiping him, automatically all other subsidiary things will be fulfilled also. So you understand. You don't have to. It's like a little baby is crying for his mother. But he doesn't have to tell his mother all that. Remember to feed me. Remember to change my. If I get dirty, you have to clean me. It doesn't have to do prayers to the mother to attend. Or be careful, if I fall to the floor, pick me up. Or don't leave me alone because somebody can kidnap me. So the mother automatically knows all the things and will do that. And the child also knows that I just have to take shelter of my mother. And she will take care of everything else. And I only need her shelter. In the same way, for a devotee, he just assuming that Krishna knows what is best for them. But in the Karmakanda section, there are so many options in which you have to do ritual for everything. If you are afraid that your son may have an accident, then you have to do a ritual for that. And if you are afraid that you may not get enough money, or you don't have much luck with money, maybe you have to do a ritual because there may be some planet that is blocking you, so therefore you have to use some methods or some, they will prescribe you some ceremonies and things according to the astrologers. But for a devotee, he doesn't really need all these things. He may use it or not, but it's not the goal. So there is a story that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells to Sanatan Goswami when he's instructing Sanatan Goswami about the nature of the living entity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also explains about the different, the Karmakanda section, Jnanakanda. Basically, he established how bhakti is the most elevated process. So I want to read something here. So the conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort. But out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and it supplements the Puranas. So the Vedas are compiled to help the conditioned soul to revive his Krishna consciousness. The forgetful conditioned soul is educated by Krishna through the Vedic literatures, the realized spiritual master and the super soul. Three factors, sadhu, guru, and shastra. So, through this, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is, and he can understand that Lord Krishna is his eternal master and deliverer from the clutches of Maya. In this way, one can acquire real knowledge of his conditioned life and can come to understand how to attain liberation. The Vedic literature gives information about the living entity's eternal relationship with Krishna, which is called Sambandha. So Sambandha means relationship. So the Vedic scriptures give the knowledge by which we can understand our relationship with Lord. So the living entity's understanding of this relationship and his acting accordingly is called Avideya. So Avideya means to execute the Sambandha. The Sambandha is knowledge about the relationship, and Avideya is to live according to that nature. Like in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, we learn that we are spiritual souls. But then the question is, so that's part of Sambandha. We are, but what is my relationship with the Lord? And how do I supposed to behave? So therefore comes chapter 3, in which till the end of Bhagavad Gita is all Avideya, how to practice devotional service, how to be a soul, how to be an eternal servant of Krishna. So that's Avideya. It's like if you have a husband and wife, they understand the relationship. There are many legal things that they will be involved in the Sambandha, the understanding. That, okay, I am your wife, you're my husband, and and there are illegal things that you shouldn't do, because you make a promise, and also regarding the material possession that you have to share according to, depends on the country where you are, etc. And then you have to live accordingly to those codes of the marriage life, and that will be the vidya, the day-to-day life. And then comes prayojana, which is the fruits of the relationship, of carrying out that relationship. In the case of marriage, maybe, for instance, the children, that's the prayojana. And so in devotional service, what is prayojana? Love of God, prema. So we recite every day before chanting Hare Krishna. That one should avoid offenses in order to quickly achieve the desired success. Krishna prema. So the prayojana is not a material profit. Again, it's not going to heavenly planets or having a better car, and then you stop your worship. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita explains that chatur vidha bhajanteman, there are four types of people who approach me. One are those who are looking for artha, also wealth, those who are distressed and looking for relief, and those who are curious, and then those who are looking for the absolute truth. And among them, the jnani, the one who is looking for the absolute truth, is the best, because the others may have a wrong understanding of the goal of the Vedas. So you may approach Krishna just because you are going through a stressful situation, or because you need some money or some job, and so then you come to the deacon, you worship for having a job. And then you get the job, and then you don't come to temple because you don't have time, because you have to work, or whatever. But then you fulfill your purpose. There is no need for you to come anymore, because you were praying for a job and you got the job. At least you have a new desire. There is no need to come. And the same with the one who is distressed. The temple will be like a place where you fix up, like a hospital. You go to the hospital, and then once you recover your health, you don't want to go back to the hospital. Because your purpose there is not to be a doctor and serve people there. You just want to be a patient, get health, and then forget about that. So in the same way, so you approach religion, you're distressed, I no more distress, now I'm really feeling ready to come back to enjoy life. And so there is a misunderstanding on the prayojana. Religion is not a mean to obtain wellness only. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the living entity understanding of this relationship and his acting accordingly is called a videya. And returning home back to Godhead is the ultimate goal of life and is called prayojana. So you can remember this word, if some of you may don't know them. It's avideya, so first sambandha, then avideya and prayojana. Sambandha is a relationship, avideya is to carry out that relationship, and prayojana is the fruit of that relationship. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, devotional service or sense activity for the satisfaction of the Lord is called avideya because it can develop one's original love of Godhead, which is the goal of life. This goal is the living entity's topmost interest and greatest wealth. Thus one attains the platform of transcendental loving service unto the Lord. So it means avideya because it has the potentiality. That's one definition of sadhana bhakti, that sadhana bhakti has the potential to awake bhava. And it means to engage the senses. So our Abhideya is by the Bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami is our guru Abhideya because he taught us through the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu how to perform devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada is a Rupa Nuga. So also he came to teach the process of devotional service by example. Sananta Goswami, who is receiving knowledge here, he's guru for Sambandha. So this conversation will mainly establish the Sambandha, the relationship between the Jiva and Krishna. So this goal is the living entity's topmost interest and greatest wealth. Thus, one attains the platform of transcendental loving service unto the Lord, Prayojana. When one attains the transcendental bliss of an intimate relationship with Krishna, he renders service to him and tastes the mellows of Krishna consciousness. And here comes a parable. Can you, Mitch, correct me? The pronunciation parable, P-A-R-O, here. Yeah, parable. Is it correct? Parable? The pronunciation? Yes? Okay. So the following parable may be given. That's Lord Chaitanya preaching. He says, once a learned astrologer came to the house of a poor man and seeing his distressed condition, questioned him. The astrologer asked, why are you unhappy? Your father was very wealthy, but he did not disclose his wealth to you because he died elsewhere. Just as the words of the astrologer, Sarvagya, gave news of the poor man's treasure, the Vedic literature advised one about Krishna consciousness when one is inquisitive to know why he is in a distressed material condition. So this parable, the beginning, is that the astrologer is taking the road in our context will be like Srila Prabhupada, for instance. Why are you unhappy? And your father was very wealthy. So he's saying, your father is Krishna. But he did not disclose his wealth to you because he dies elsewhere. Well, we won't take that part. But basically, we don't know that we are actually wealthy, and we are unhappy. But this also is establishing the first step in spiritual life, which means to understand that you are not happy. As far as we think that we are very, very happy and life is so nice, then we don't qualify to pursue a spiritual life, because that happiness is illusory in the sense that you may be happy for what? Because it is a nice day, nice sunny day, and then we have this big trouble with the climate change. So then you become unhappy when you start realizing you start reading all the paper from scientists about what's coming. Or you may be happy because you have a wonderful family, but if someone tells you that they may die, so where is your happiness if they die? If your only source of happiness is your relatives. The same with the wealth. No? If your only source of happiness is your bank account or your prestige, I'm happy because I have a very successful career. I can't complain life. I can't complain to God because he has given me such a wonderful facilities in life. And really, I don't know what is suffering. So if you think like that, it's okay. But if you really understand the nature of this world, you may lose that at any time. Even if you don't lose it, there are many people who don't have it like you, and they don't have your same opinion. So Krishna defines this world as Dukkalayam Asashvatam. So you know Himalayas? So Alaya means full of, and Hima means white. So dukkha means suffering, and alayam means full. So the definition that the creator of this world is giving is dukkha, alayam. It's saying a place full of suffering. When we have that material perspective, that happiness comes from external things that are temporary. And so it's interesting, Krishna, it's like if you have, I don't know, Steve Jobs saying, apples are full of, this computer is, I made it and it's the worst. So Krishna is saying, I made this material world and I made it like this. It's a play for suffering, on one level, of course. But what he's saying that, because he has another product. So you may say also, why these people that are selling computer and saying that their own computer is not very good? They are pointing to the fault because they are presenting the new one. So they say, so yeah, this computer for 2008 actually has many faults, but now we have improved. We have this. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is saying, yeah, this material world is a place of suffering, but listen, there is another abode which is eternal, full of bliss. He has a better product. So if you're saying, God, I'm very happy with this world, he's saying, actually, I have a better product. This actually is no good. It's one of my low quality works compared with what I have to offer for you. So by the words of the astrologer, the poor man's connection with the treasure was established, the Sambandha. Now he knew, I have a treasure. Similarly, the Vedic literature advises us that our real connection is with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although being assured of his father's treasure, the poor man cannot acquire this treasure by such knowledge alone. So therefore, you may know, like, okay, you are a spiritual soul. You are a servant of Krishna. And then how do you perfect that knowledge? How do you really go back to Godhead with only knowing, okay, I am a servant of Krishna? So in the same way, this poor man, he knows, okay, I have a treasure, but where is the treasure? So how I will find it? So then the man told him, the astrologer, if you dig on the western side, there is a ghost who will create such a disturbance that your hands will not even touch the treasure. So don't look in the western side, because there is no treasure. There is, it's like, the guru, no, will say, don't do this. This won't help you to get Krishna. So then, he said, if you dig on the northern side, there is a big black snake that will devour you if you attempt to dig up the treasure. So in the western side, there is a ghost. On the north, there is a black snake. However, he said, if you dig up a small quantity of dirt on the eastern side, your hands will immediately touch the pot of treasure. The revealed scripture concludes that one should give up fruitive activity, speculative knowledge, and the mystic yoga system, and instead take to devotional service by which Krishna can be fully satisfied. So, I want to read the Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada here. So Prabhupada said, the Vedic literature, including the Puranas, state that according to the position of the conditioned soul, there are different processes. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, the yogic process and the bhakti yoga process. Karmakanda is compared, there is one section that I didn't read, so I have to read one verse that I jump, so you can understand this purpose. Okay. Here. And if you dig toward the south, we didn't mention the south side, Chicago. So if you dig in the south side, the astrologer said there will be wasps. I'm trying to find the words here. Yeah, there will be wasps and drones that will rise, and you will not get the treasure. So these are all compared to processes. So you have in the south, you have wasps and drones. Then in the north, you have a black snake. In the east, in the west, you have the ghost. And then only in the east side, you may touch the treasure. So this all, Prabhupada explained, Karmakanda is compared to wasps and drones, the south. And that will simply bite if one takes shelter of them. So if you take shelter of the mentality of Karmakanda, just to pursue religion to obtain profit, material profit, then it compared to the bite of wasp. Because you are still in the platform of happiness and distress. One day you're happy because you have all this, but then once you lose it, you become completely despondent. Then, Jnanakanda, the speculative process, is simply like a ghost who creates mental disturbance. Yoga, the mystic process, is compared to a black snake that devours people by the impersonal cultivation of Kaivalya. Kaivalya means liberation. However, if one takes to Bhakti Yoga, he becomes quickly successful. In other words, through Bhakti Yoga, one hands touch the hidden treasure without difficulty. The goal of the revealed scriptures and Vedic injunction is Krishna, as he himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo. Since the Vedas enjoin one to search out Krishna and take shelter at his lotus feet, and since no Vedic process but devotional service will enable one to do this, one has to take devotional service. So then Prabhupada explained, no, how only bhakti mana vijanatina, only through bhakti you can achieve Krishna. So therefore, again, the Vedas are prescribing many ceremonies and rituals and processes like Karmakanda, Jnanakanda. But the treasure of the Vedas, that are the promise of the Vedas, the best that the Vedas can offer, can be only obtained through Bhakti Yoga. And our Prayojana, as spiritual souls, can be obtained only through Bhakti. Otherwise, we are getting more of the same suffering through Karmakanda, and then Jnana Yoga is like compared like a ghost, a mental that is disturbing the mind. No? So much philosophy and confusion, because you can end up thinking that you may be God, and it's dry speculation. And then mystic powers. Also, through yoga, you can misunderstand the goal as and just be running after mystic power adoration, and finally that Kaivalya liberation of trying to become one with the Lord. So for these processes to be successful, they need bhakti. Even so, if you want to become a Brahmavadi, you have to practice jnana but with bhakti. If you want to, like a yogi, if you want to be successful and achieve Paramatma, they have to practice bhakti with Ashtanga yoga. But if you practice only Ashtanga yoga, you will end up confused by the mystic powers. And if you practice jnana without bhakti, you just get disturbance in the mind. or become a mayavadi, thinking that everything is maya, and Krishna also is maya. When he comes, he takes in a form of maya. Okay. So coming back, so the idea that I was reading this, so just to emphasize the point that here, although Narada Muni is giving this different, and in the previous chapter also different duties of the varnas in ashram, and here explaining the period for offering oblation to perform Shraddha, the final conclusion is that all these things actually are very complicated, and it can mislead the soul and even complicate things in your life. But the same Narada Muni, in the first canto, where he is instructing Narada Muni, he himself instructs Narada Muni to pointing out that his fault as the compiler of the Veda was this section of Karmakanda. Also, was not to don't directly describe the pastime of Lord Krishna, or in other words, to don't encourage people directly to take to bhakti yoga instead of going through a gradual process of performing Karmakanda, and after many lives you start realizing that, well, actually I'm like beaten by wasp. I'm just suffering. Although I'm trying to pursue happiness, I'm not really happy. And then jnana yoga and yoga, or the Ashtanga yoga, and then finally come to bhakti yoga. So therefore, Narada Muni advised Vyasadeva to do a literature in which there is nothing of this. Karmakanda is only bhakti from the very beginning. Therefore, in the first verse, Narada Srila Vyasadeva is saying, in the second verse, saying, Dharma Prakshito Kaitava, this Srimad Bhagavatam, rejecting, completely rejecting religious activities that are meant for artha, for material purposes. And it's meant for the Matsarana Satam, for those who are looking for the absolute truth. And oh yes, so that's it. Thank you. Is there any comment? Manoj?
To the last point that you were making, you were saying that Bhagavatam rejects all these kind of prescriptions, Karmakanda's prescriptions, or anything that's not focused on Krishna. So then, why is it in these few chapters it's mentioning these prescriptions?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And it's interesting that, and there are sections. Like, for example, in second canto, there is a description of the worship of the universal form. And there are also sections in which it describes the process of Ashtanga yoga. And here, there are described rituals. But we have to see always what are the conclusions, finally. Because the idea of Srimad Bhagavatam is to take you to reject, finally, all these rituals. In this case, like the Shraddha ceremony is not necessarily something that one have to reject, but the purpose by which you may do all these rituals, because it's part of a culture. So you have to understand that after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaji is still performing many ceremonies because of the Vedic rituals, because of the many people that die. So this is a social duty in order to, because the society is not a society of Paramahansas. Paramahansas only are few. So in order to keep society together, you need a whole system, and that's the Varnasan Dharma. The purpose of Varnasan Dharma is finally to please Krishna and worship him. And so within the Varnasan Dharma, there are many rituals, etc. But the Bhagavatam is rejecting the purpose of doing those rituals as the goal. The goal of the Vedas is to worship Krishna. And if you are already worshiping Krishna, you don't really need to do all these rituals, but you may do it anyway to keep society going on, because people may need, and because their faith is less, so that they may need to do like the Shraddha ceremony also to, it's like to complete a cycle, you know, on life. And I'm like, okay, when my child was born, we do the ceremony, etc. So till the society will accompany that living entity till the time of death by doing a ceremony at the time of death. So it's like it's a social system, but one who is the Bhagavatam is for Paramahamsa, Nirmat Saranam Satam, a person who are already above all this, or to take you above all the ritual. But so to say that something is not important, it doesn't mean that you don't have to do it, or if you do it, you're wrong. It means that if you put that first and second, pleasing the Lord, you put further rituals to get something material, and then the Lord. Therefore, there were kings, and the king, they have to perform many rituals. But the saintly kings, they knew what was the objective. And they will make sure that the Sankirtan Yagya was there, for instance, for the glorification of Krishna. So that's more or less how I understand. I just read that one of the, for example, a Vaishnava like Srila Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, they were forbidden to perform Vedic rituals. Or even like Haridas Thakur, he couldn't enter into the Jagannath Puri temple. And it's not like Lord Chaitanya told, oh, you should enter because you are a pure Vaishnava. So just go and break all the rules. And you also, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. No, they were very humble. And they would say, I don't deserve to go there. Therefore, Haridas Thakur was living nearby the temple. Lord Chaitanya will bring Mahaprasad from Jagannath Puri. But he won't say, Haridas Thakur, come to the temple of Jagannath Puri. I will make you enter and I will teach these brahmanas. Because respecting social rules is important. So the Vaishnavas, they also respect. And there are certain rules that are details and are not the higher principles, but they are there for a purpose. And therefore, even if there is a pure Vaishnava, he may not do, also he doesn't need to do all these Vedic rituals, but he won't even do it just to the five people and say, I'm a Brahmana, I can't do it. For instance, Srila Prabhupada, he hired Brahmanas to do the ceremony of the Balaram Mandir. And one may ask, so after all these purports, was Srila Prabhupada hiring Brahmanas in Vrindavan to do Vedic rituals to install the deity, when Srila Prabhupada said that chanting Hare Krishna was enough? So he explained in the seventh purport that was just to respect the people, basically, and to gain respect, not for the, so they will accept the deities, etc. So I will have to Let me check or ask Maharaj exactly why Narada Muni, because I haven't reviewed this part and I want to see the end of the chapter or the section, but most probably if you analyze in context, the context always the conclusion will be to worship Krishna and go beyond all these rituals. But anyway, they are important in for society to keep going. Ataji, you wanted to say something?
Gokula Nandana Prabhu, I was appreciating the point you made that, even the purpose of the Karmakanda section of the Vedas is to have persons come to accept the authority of Krishna ultimately. Yes, of the Vedas and Krishna ultimately. So it's an interesting thing because on a practical level, like in this verse, there's mentioned that, during the Shraddha ceremony, they may vary according to the time, place, the foodstuffs, the ingredients, it says, etc. So anyway, it just brought to mind something of how that dynamic of the desires of the persons wishing to perform such a ceremony and then the place in which they're coming to perform that ceremony plays itself out in terms of the respect for authority, because like on a practical level, I used to observe this. I wasn't directly involved in it, but I was observing it, that persons come to an ISKCON temple and may wish to perform such a ceremony, and then there'll be a demand that these are the particular items of foodstuff we require for our guests. And I have observed at least one devotee say, the offering to the deity is of this nature, so this is what's going to be done, and already this menu was planned. So it would appear that the persons are indeed having to learn that respect for authority, because there's even the demand for the preferred items to be offered, not taken into account that naturally coming into a temple setting where offerings are being performed to the deity, something is already in place, some planning has already happened. So it's a very interesting thing because it plays itself out even in those detail aspects that, like, not necessarily being so submissive to the authority of the place and the temple in which that ceremony is to be performed. I don't know if you have some thoughts or some understanding regarding that. I don't know if the question would be how to deal with that, because it hasn't been, I haven't been involved in that. I've just been observing. So I was just appreciating your point. I think that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much. Just to end, I want to read from the, I found it, the, on this chapter, I think that will answer also Manoj's question. It's this same chapter, text 28. So Narada Muni is saying, ritualistic ceremonies, regulative principles, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor and frustration. And then, he said, as professional activities or business profits cannot help one in a spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who desires to conquer the mind must leave the company of his family and live in a solitary place, free from contaminated association, etc. So he's condemning them again. All these rituals are pointing again that the point is to become Krishna conscious, finally. Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.